You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I am your host, Adam Miller. And as we continue our way through our Missions Emphasis Month, we are looking into various parts of our world. And today we're going to be talking a little bit about an area that we don't hear very much. We heard about quite a bit last year, but we'll find out more about it this year in the ministries that are taking place in that culture. We're joined today by Joel Gray, who is with Serving in Missions, or SIM for short. Joel, thank you so much for being a part of our program.
Thank you for inviting me on. I really appreciate it.
Why don't you get us started by telling us a little bit about SIM, what it is. It's an organization with different ministries and its outreach and the different impacts it's having around the world.
Yeah, SIM was started over 100 years ago in the 1800s. It's a very large general mission. It's conservative and evangelical, working in many parts of the world today. It originally stood for Sudan Interior Mission back when Africa south of the Sahara, especially West Africa, was called the French Sudan. But of course, today, Sudan is a specific country, and so that name no longer means what it meant at one time. But SAM is a large mission. It's evangelical and non-denominational, and has about 1,800 missionaries serving in different parts of the world.
Can you give us some of the specifics of the type of ministries that you guys are doing? Is this a church planting ministry? Is this an evangelistic ministry? Or is it about training leaders for furthering the gospel?
Yeah, SIM is involved in all of the above. I think originally, and the sort of the core purpose, is to make Christ known among the peoples and communities of the world where he's not, or least known. And so SIM has always been a church planting ministry, an evangelism ministry, and we have churches, you know, associated with our work, associated, you know, with us all around the world. But because we're working in parts of the world that are known for poverty, known for AIDS, known for Ebola, we also have quite a few medical ministries. We have hospitals all over the world. In the country where I serve, Burkina Faso in West Africa, we manage two hospitals. We also are involved in Bible translation. And in Burkina Faso, we've translated one complete Bible into an African language, and then have another project also underway. So Bible translation, our missions involved with discipleship, church planting, leadership training, and the specific ministry I've been most involved with myself over the years has been training African missionaries, and that's going on more and more all around the world as well, something I'm personally really passionate about.
I'm glad you mentioned the country that you're working in, Burkina Faso, because I honestly, I was getting ready for this interview, I had never heard of the country before in my life, and I feel terrible, but I'm an American, so I don't have to know geography. We had heard a lot about West Africa in the news last year because of Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Liberia because of the Ebola outbreak, and you're right next to those countries, even Mali. So can you tell us a little bit about kind of the major impacts and the focus that it had on that part of the world?
Yeah, Ebola, of course, was a huge crisis just last year. And you're right, you mentioned the names of the countries where the outbreak occurred. And SIM is actually active in those countries. And several of our doctors, SIM doctors, were in the news prominently and were rushed back to the U.S. To get treatment. In Liberia, Elwa Hospital was where all the Ebola crisis was being handled. And so it's had a huge impact, and God is good because this is really dwindling. There have been a few small outbreaks just in 2016 again. In Guinea, for example, there are a few people that have had it, but considering the potential Ebola had to spread, I think we're just all very grateful to see how, for the most part, it's been neutralized and has been contained. But it had a huge impact on the area. Guinea was, and many parts of Guinea were devastated. There was an evangelism team associated with the CMA, the Christian Missionary Alliance, who was going to villages in Guinea during this time, trying to help people learn about how to not get Ebola. And they were misunderstood by the local people that they had come to serve and were actually killed. So It was just crazy. Things happened and many people died. But God's people rose to the occasion, and I think there were some stories of hope and stories of healing that came from it as well. Throughout history, challenges have occurred, like the recent Ebola crisis, and when these problems do emerge for the body of Christ, they're often opportunities, opportunities to shine, opportunities to shine light in dark places, opportunities to help people that might be ignored by the rest of the world. And I think the Ebola crisis was, in fact, just that. And I think there are many cases where God's people were really stepping up to bat. The fact that Western mission organizations have people on the ground in many third world countries, most third world countries, when these crises emerge, whether, like in the recent Ebola crisis, it hit the news that SIM was all over the place helping, and the CMA was as well, and Samaritan's Purse in the case of Liberia. But it's because we have people on the ground all over the world, people who have been motivated by the love of Christ to go and reach out to their neighbors, that when these crises occur, when civil wars occur, when AIDS broke out in different places, often it's Christian missionaries or local believers who are on the forefront of bringing help and aid and love and compassion to people in need. And so I think every crisis can also be an opportunity to love, an opportunity for the individual to grow as they overcome their fears and express compassion and reach out in love to people who are really hurting. So every crisis is an opportunity for God's body, for the body of Christ, to rise up and be the body of Christ and to love people in need.
I want to talk a little bit now specifically about the country that you serve as the director of SIM, Burkina Faso. Can you tell us a little bit about the country itself? Because it's something that, like I said, I had never heard anything about it before researching for this interview.
Yeah, Burkina Faso is a small, landlocked country in West Africa. It has about 18 million people. It used to be called Upper Volta, and so some people who were good in geography back in maybe the 70s or early 80s might have remembered the country Upper Volta. Well, that changed in the mid-80s, and it's been called Burkina Faso ever since. It's a small country, but it's a dynamic country in the region. Burkina is surrounded with strong Islam. It borders the Sahara Desert. We have Mali on our border to the north and to the west. Mali is 92% Muslim. We have Niger on our east. Niger is 90% plus Muslim. We have Nigeria nearby. So it's right in the belt that's often called the Sahel, which runs right along the southern part of the Sahara Desert. So it's dry, it's a poor country, 18 million people living on the edge of the desert. It doesn't have a great infrastructure, it doesn't have a lot of educational opportunities. Burkina itself, about 55% of the population would consider themselves Muslim. So it's a poor country, it's dominated by Islam, it's on the edge of the desert, and there's not a lot of good health facilities, not a lot of good education. But there's a growing church, and so we really rejoice. The church has been growing the last 20 or 30 years. We've seen tremendous growth across all denominations, all evangelical denominations. And even though it's in a poor part of the world, it's a place that has a lot of potential, especially considering our neighbors that are much more touched by Islam than we are. Burkina started sending out missionaries. There are African missionaries leaving Burkina and going to other countries. And so it's exciting to see a country that just a few years ago, no one would have expected Burkina to be playing as big a role as it is in the region.
Now, we do hear a lot about Boko Haram in Niger. Does that ever spill over into Burkina Faso?
Yes, it does. In fact, in January of this year, we had a major terrorist problem. We had a team from Messiah College visiting. We have a good relationship with Messiah College in Pennsylvania, and every year we get teams of college students to come. And while they were there in January, we had a terrorist attack in our capital city, a few blocks away from where we were eating a meal with the Messiah College students. terrorists came into a restaurant, they came into a hotel and started shooting indiscriminately. Missionary friend Mike Rittering was killed on the spot. And that same day, up in the north, a missionary couple from Australia, medical missionaries, were taken hostage and then taken up into the desert. So that was on January 15, 2016. 30 people were killed in the heart of Ouagadougou at the shooting. A missionary died, and then another missionary was taken captive. Now, the missionaries taken captive, the Elliots, Ken and Jocelyn Elliott, Jocelyn was released 3 weeks later in early February, but Ken, to this day, has not been released. He's in his 80s. He's been in Africa for many years, but he's also older, and we have not heard any real news about his whereabouts or his health since January 15th. I think we're going on 9 months now. And so, yes, terrorism has impacted Burkina. There have been lots of smaller things in Burkina, but that was by far the largest one and the one that impacted us the most.
It just goes to show we're not hearing the full news reports of what's happening for the persecuted church around the world, and certainly an area of need for you and your ministry and the people, the Christians, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who are serving there in Burkina Faso, really needing our prayers. But this is a ministry, and it seems to me from your report that it's actually a very vibrant ministry, and you're training nationals to do ministry in their own country, and that's always a huge sign of the Lord's work. Can you tell us a little bit more specifically about what you're doing and what you're able to see happening in Burkina Faso?
Yeah. Now, Burkina's had Bible colleges for many years, and almost every major denomination will have Bible colleges, and they're training people to be pastors in that country. About 12 years ago, several of us got together after having taught the Perspectives course, which is sort of a mobilization course for world mission, and we put our heads together and said, hey, pastoral training is happening in Burkina, but there's not missionary training happening. And the day will come, and the day has already come, when Burkina Faso will realize that God is calling her as well to join the mission of God. And so it's been very exciting to work together with people from different denominations and from different ethnic groups in Burkina to see the IMS, it's the Mission Leadership Training College, be born. It's been in operation for about 12 years, and we've had students from 12 different West African countries, French-speaking countries mostly, come, and they come and do missionary training. We only accept students that have already done their theological studies, and that allows us to go in depth into areas of missiology and anthropology, Islam, and a lot of practical courses on how to learn languages, how to witness to Muslims, how to study your community, and practical outreach type things. So it has been a joy, and missionaries are serving now in all kinds of difficult places, many times in places where you and I would never go, but God is calling the African church to rise up and to send missionaries. Missionaries are leaving Burkina now and going to other countries, and it's just really exciting to be a part of that.
Can you tell us a little bit about the needs that you have and the support that you need in fulfilling the ministry that you're called to do as the director there of SIM in Burkina Faso?
Well, we have some critical personnel needs. If someone felt that God was calling them to be a missionary in Africa, we have several critical needs. One of them is we have a small school with about 20 students called Life Academy, and it's a Christian school in Burkina, and many of those students there are the children of missionaries, and we do not have enough teachers. We have a critical need for a teacher to come and join us at Life Academy. We also have a very large ESL program, and many Muslims have enrolled. We have waiting lists sometimes of 300 and 400 people that want to come and learn English, but we don't have enough teachers for them. What we have a desperate need for a coordinator of this program, and it would be someone who would organize schedules, who would organize teachers, who would work on recruitment. We have a desperate need. The person who started that ministry and has been doing it for many, many years is retiring. So we have some critical personnel needs. And this is frontline ministry in a part of the world where God is doing exciting things, but many people still don't know the Lord. So we have some critical personnel needs. We have prayer needs, about 40 people. Some of them work in foster, some of them work in family. We are working in, as we noted earlier, places where it's not very safe, and sometimes there are some terrorist issues. There are some health issues there. So we really need the people of God to pray for us as well, protect us, and continue to work through us.
We have been talking with Joel Gray. He is the director of the Serving in Mission Ministry in Burkina Faso. Thank you so much for taking the time to explain a little bit more about your ministry and about your country and the great needs and also the great accomplishments for the gospel and the mission work in West Africa.
All right. Thank you very much for having me, and have a wonderful day.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.